The LPGA Tour is in Japan this week. They get underway tomorrow, which I actually think is, come to think of it, today. Over there at the moment, they could have already hit the first shots. It's the Mizuno Classic, and it gets underway, as I said, on Friday officially. Joining me right now is the head of communications for the LPGA Tour. My old friend Craig Kann is joining me. Craig, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Today, tomorrow, any day for you, John. Doesn't matter what the time zone is or where our players are playing. So good to be with you.
Where are you, incidentally?
I'm actually in Florida. I've been at LPGA headquarters all week. I will be in Guadalajara, Mexico next week for the Lorena Ochoa Invitational. And then I will be in Naples the following week for the entire week, Monday through Sunday night, and looking forward to it. We've got a great finish to the end of the year for us.
You do. I told the listeners I was going to ask you this, and I was going to ask you this first. I read an article this week that it was mathematically possible for somebody other than NB Park to be player of the year. And I think there were two women that if they won out, Suzanne Pedersen, I think, was one, and Stacey Lewis was the other. If they won out, then mathematically they could beat out NB Park for player of the year. Is that, first of all, is that true?
There are mathematical possibilities for us to have an absolutely wild finish down the stretch and for Indy Park to be surpassed. That is correct. And, you know, I think the thing to keep in mind is, you know, everybody talks about Indy Park and her run of three consecutive majors and the chance to win four majors in a row at the RICO Women's British Open at St. Andrews, which was won by Stacey Lewis. And so much attention was focused through the beginning and through the middle part of our year on Indy, and rightfully so. But what's happened since then has been nothing short of remarkable for other players. And I don't think you see this too often on the men's side, where you get domination by the top, you know, two or three players over a sustained stretch of time. I mean, look, Phil and Tiger have had a lot of runs together on the PGA Tour. I get that. But for Suzanne Pedersen to follow up Stacey Lewis, and for Stacey Lewis to follow up NB Park, and for the three of them to battle for bragging rights is really special for us. And it's top three players in the women's world rankings, the Rolex world rankings. It's a fantastic setup for us to go down the stretch and finish this thing off.
Yeah, it is. Is there are there awards that are voted on by the players for the players on the LPGA Tour?
Yes, there are. We do have several awards that will be given out at the Rolex reception at the end of the year. So that's Friday night during the week of the CME. But at the same time, you know, you got the Vare Trophy, which is very nip and tuck on the low scoring, and Player of the Year obviously hanging in the balance. Rookie of the Year is hanging in the balance as well. Right. Chuchangigarn and Caroline Masson are battling it out. So. There's a lot of question marks, to be honest, and I actually think that that's a good thing. The storylines are still unfolding. The story is not over. You can't write anything yet. We can't go to press with the way the year has been played out, and I think it adds some nice intrigue down to the wire for us.
I don't think there's any question. I loved the development last month when Lydia Ko announced on YouTube that she was turning pro. That has to be a first, doesn't it?
Pretty good. Did you do that, by the way? I'm trying to think of when your announcement happened and you turned pro. How did you go about it? Did you have that kind of production value to your announcement of turning pro? Listen, I think it was remarkable. I talked to her mother and Lydia via conference call to New Zealand just before everything happened with her being given membership privileges to the LPGA next year, and we were talking about the video of her turning professional, et cetera. And her mom and Lydia were saying, hey, is it okay if we release this video? It's pretty special. And it sure was. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, a lot went into that, and you got rugby involved and a lot of fans. So I'll tell you what, you know, kids these days are pretty savvy when it comes to social media and different things like that. And they're way better on computers than we are. So I wouldn't have put it past her to put it together herself, but I know she had a production company help her out.
Well, and that's your job is basically to, is to be in front of all this. But I can tell you unequivocally that when I have a problem with my new Samsung smart pad thing, I take it to my son and daughter, and they fix it for me.
Of course you do. Of course you do. If you need to get your apps fixed on your iPad or your iPhone, or you need to download something, I mean, listen, my nickname around the office is Tim Technology, and it has nothing to do with the fact that I'm any good at anything to do that's technologically, a part of my job. I'm not very good at any of that sort of stuff. So you surround yourself with your greatest weakness. Isn't that what they say? Try to use your strengths and then bring in other people around you that are good at the things you're terrible at. But, look, our players are pretty savvy. We're excited about some things coming down the pike here with a social media spin on it. And 2014 for us from the social media vantage point is going to be really special. I'm excited about that. And I'm glad Lydia Ko is kind of leading us into that frontier with that announcement.
Well, it's not only Lydia Ko. I follow a lot of your players on Twitter. And quite frankly, we're in a period of time right now where they're in Asia, that we don't get a lot of coverage of the events. And so I literally get more information about what's going on in some of those events through social media, through what they're saying on Twitter and Instagram and all those places.
It's amazing, John, how sports and our lives have changed because of Twitter. I remember, like it was yesterday, being at the Masters back when I worked at Golf Channel, and them saying, hey, we need you to jump on Twitter, and we're going to do this this tweet fest. And everybody's like, what? What are you guys talking about? Nobody was buying in at first. Nobody had any idea. And I believe it was really Stuart Sink from the PGA Tour. At least he was one of the first couple that really jumped on this thing. And now, everybody's pretty much into it. I mean, they're into it. I'm into it. We both have to be into it. You're trying to promote your show. We're trying to promote awareness for our product, for our players, for our tour, grow awareness of our tournaments. Everybody is into the game. We are in a news world today of 24 hours and on to the next thing. I mean, that's kind of how we live. And it might be shorter than that. I mean, if you believe in Twitter, it's basically rinse and repeat on tweets every 30 minutes or so. You got to be strategic about when you do tweet. Make sure that it's a certain time of the day, whether it's lunchtime when people are having a bite to eat and scrolling through, or at night after dinner time, or in the morning. So these are all things that we talk about. But when it comes to engagement, our players are very engaged. They're excited about kind of growing our brand, and certainly they have the opportunity to grow theirs as well. Got to remember, though, if you're just tweeting and you've got no value, it's basically just spam. So I don't want them to just be throwing stuff up there that doesn't have merit about good things they're doing, good things we're doing. It's not an opportunity to just text, because a lot of kids do that. So we're trying. Let's put it that way. We're in a new era, and we're certainly trying to be a part of it at the LPGA.
Well, and there's no question about that. It's interesting to me because, and I'll just say it, I've never done this, but I have been approached by people to monetize tweets, which basically means in a clever way, you tweet something about a company or about equipment or about something, and you get paid based on the number of followers that you have. And I'm sure that your girls get that all the time. And there's still people that I follow that get that. But to me, the dollar figures don't make sense. It seems like you don't want to be that person. Has that come up in conversations with the LPGA girls? And I did not mean for the conversation to go in this direction, but it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, it is fascinating. It's a completely different world. Basically, today's marketing world is no longer door to door; it's word of mouth, and I think that's applies to various businesses. Every business, CEOs are smart, marketing officers are smart. They're following people on Twitter. They're trying to push their product through Twitter. So nobody's really banging on doors or cold calling. You're trying to get your product out there in a certain way, and you want to make sure that you assign yourself or associate yourself with the right companies. So, yes, have our players been approached? Some of the agents have told me, yes, indeed, that they have. I just think we need to be careful about, who we align with and what our strategy is moving forward. The bottom line is, I think the LPGA has had a lot of success because we feel connected and our fans feel connected. We have a social media company that we are now working with and that we're going to build a big platform for 2014. We talk a lot about engagement and kind of the stickiness factor or how how it not only engaged your audience is, but how much they really, really love your product. You know, I mean, it's one thing to look at a tweet and go, hey, that's cool. It's another thing to become kind of an ambassador for the product. And we feel good about the fact that our fans are very loyal, they're engaged, and they like to spread the word. And that's something that we're going to try to continue to build on over the years.
You should follow Craig if you don't. K-R-A-I-G-K-A-N-N. Craig Kann, he's the, basically, he's in charge of this for the LPGA Tour. Technically, head of communication, or is it vice president of communications, but the man in charge
you,
of...
You can call me whatever you want to. The official title, which I don't really get into all that much, is chief communications officer.
There you go.
But we'll call it whatever we want to call it. The bottom line is my job is to help grow awareness of our tour from a media perspective, from a fan engagement perspective. And I love talking about where we're going and where we're headed. And it's been a fantastic year. And certainly we've had some nice news this week, and we got a lot coming down the pike about 2014.
Yeah. The growth in America has been spectacular. You guys went through some tough times there. And the growth internationally. I mean, it seems like there's a massive expansion going on right now. And I know that you have the right people there to not grow too fast. You got down to a point about 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and now you're building it back up with the right base. And I really do appreciate that. And that's just a compliment. You don't have to comment on it if you don't want to.
Well, I'll say this. I think I've said this before on your show. If I haven't, I'll say it again. I don't believe that we have a destination at the LPGA. I think what we have is an exciting journey. You know, it's a process. It's about building 30-year relationships, not 3-year deals. You know, there's a huge difference in that, John. You're not trying to get some. You want somebody to test your show out for a night, but you want them to be loyal listeners that will not only listen to your show, but tell other people about it. You want Paul Revere. You want people to talk about the cool things you're doing. So for us, 5, 6 years ago, people were writing the obituary of the LPGA Tour. Mike Wann came on board, fantastic marketing background, fantastic leader, a pretty darn good recruiter, pulled me and some other people on board to help be a part of the process. But you know what? At the end of the day, you're only as good as the product and the players that are a part of your tour. And our players are fantastic, and they really are engaged. They're a part of it. We've added 8 new events over the last 2 years. We're going to add some more before we get into 2014. We've added 11 new marketing partners over the last 2 years. Our TV ratings in North America have been up 57% over the last 2 years. Girls golf was at 5,000 young girls back 3 years ago. We're hitting 30,000 very shortly, and our goal is to get to 50,000 that we put clubs in hand and get them engaged in the game. You can't do that unless you've got a product that's worth screaming about or talking about, and that's where we're trying to go, John. And I don't take any bit of media or any show like this or any opportunity for our players to have a microphone for granted. You earn them. You got to do something with them. You got to make sure you're building relationships that last, and you need those people that come into contact with your product to go out and talk positively about you when they leave, because they will talk no matter what. You just need to get them to say good things.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I think they do. Before I let you go, we've talked about the social media aspect of this, and I as we were talking about it, I realized that this time of year, I will not watch an NBA game, but I will watch the highlights on SportsCenter. You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit down and give the NBA 2.5 hours right now, and I certainly won't drive to a game because the nearest one's the Bobcats. But I will pay attention to what's going on, you know, to who's undefeated, to who's playing well, to who's hurt, when's Kobe coming back. I do pay attention to all of that. Does that mindset factor in here for the LPGA Tour, particularly when you guys are playing in venues where, you know, we're not getting the live coverage?
Well, that's a great question. It's also a fair analysis and a fair kind of critique of the sport at this time of the year. I mean, if you look at the PGA Tour, there really is no off season any longer. If you look at the LPGA season, we've had a pretty long off season over the last few years. We're trying to shorten that by design, try to kick off sooner, and we are going to kick off in the Bahamas in January next year, as opposed to waiting until February to get our season going. We'll announce our schedule coming up sooner rather than later. In the past few years, we've announced it early on in January, and we'll have that accomplished here in the next month or so, maybe sooner, hint, hint. But I think the goal, John, is to get people, as you point out, not to feel that they have to watch everything that's going on, but to pay attention enough, pay attention to us through these Asian events so that we have storylines to tell, and that when we get to CME for our title holders, our tour championship, if you will, there's a lot to talk about and there's a buzz, but there's also a positive finish so that we can go into an offseason, build momentum for 2014 and move forward. It's tough right now. I mean, sports is a competitive industry and a competitive landscape, and everybody's trying to carve out a certain niche to try to get noticed. It's not easy. It's not easy for golf because golf's a niche sport. The LPGA is a niche within a niche. You know, it's not like ratings for the World Series are through the roof. Everybody's trying to find a little bit of a piece of the puzzle. And our job is not to hope people take notice. It's to make people take notice and give people a reason to follow us. So that's what we're working hard to do. We're trying to create good news strategically. You'll see it placed in certain ways. We do feel like we have some good news to share, but we're not getting cocky here. We're not bragging about anything because this is just us trying to get to where we feel we need to be, not trying to overwhelm people with how great the LPGA is. We want to find our place. We want to make people happy, enjoy our product, and give people positive things to say.
Oh, well, I'm going to go one step further. You guys managed to stay scandal free very nicely, where the PGA Tour, in golf in general, we haven't really talked about the golf this year nearly as much as we've talked about all the other things going on around the game, all of the tentacles that reach into society. And it seems to me that when we talk about the LPGA Tour, we're actually talking about golf, and that's refreshing in its own way.
Well, I'm going to enlighten you on a little something. I had a meeting today, ironically enough, at the Golf Channel, my old stomping grounds, with some executives from the news side of things. And obviously, I meet with, you know, with ESPN and other networks and magazines and writers, and you know, so it's all encompassing. And I'll meet with you anytime, by the way, as well. But you know, one of the things we're trying to do, obviously, is build our coverage, build the awareness, create more opportunities for our players, not only this year, but next year and the year after, et cetera. Then you work with the players on taking advantage of those opportunities. One of the comments that came up was, you know, we feel like the LPGA is being talked about more on the Golf Channel. And when news breaks or when something is negative, or there is a bit of a controversy, let's just use an example. Let's say a tough luck situation in the Bahamas that we dealt with, or the situation that came up at the Solheim Cup. You know what? They're going to cover it, and they're going to cover it as fairly as they possibly can. And they were trying to tell me, hey, you know, hope you guys are all good with that. And my line is, hey, listen, that's what we should be asking for. I want us to be covered, period, the good, the bad, the other. For me to say you can only talk about the sunshine and the rainbows is not fair. It's not what journalism is all about. It's not what media coverage should be about. So I'm going to try to push you the good stories, John. I'm going to try to push every media member toward the things that are worthy of conversation and discussion. But if something does happen that is a little bit off or a little bit newsworthy in a way that might not be about a shot to win a tournament or a 64 on a Thursday or whatever it might be, then you know what? I want it discussed. I'm glad for the relevance because that means we're worthy. If you're not worthy, nobody cares, and nobody's paying any attention. So my job is to make sure that you care, and I want you to cover the great stories, and if things go wrong, I'll be on here to talk about the things that go wrong, and we'll try to talk about everything that's related to that I can discuss, because our job is to make you feel like you're connected to our tour. But it isn't always sunshine. So, you know, that's kind of where I am with it. I just think it's a part of the deal. You want the media to pay attention to you, period.
Well, I'll tell you what, they have the right man for the job, Craig. There's no question. And incidentally, back to your previous reference, you certainly deserve Paul Revere I unfortunately am more of an Israel Bissell in this particular case. And for anyone who is out there and says, who the hell is Israel Bissell? Google it. He rode from Boston to Philadelphia. All Paul Revere did was run downtown, but he was friends with Nathaniel Hawthorne. Then Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote a poem about him. That's how Paul Revere got famous. I cannot be your Hawthorne because I think I'm already Israel Bissell.
Well, that's good, and I'll give you one more. You got Paul Revere, and you got William Dawes, right? Each of them rode a horse saying the British are coming. One guy was incredibly well-connected to a whole lot of people, and everybody knows who Paul Revere is. The other guy is simply remembered by nobody.
Exactly.
And
Israel Bissell.
Is the guy who, there you go. Just
he was there, too. He was. He rode to Philadelphia. He did it, and he rode from Boston to Philadelphia in 5 days, telling everybody the British were coming.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Listen, we're on the same page, and I'll say this. You know, I know you're gonna end this thing here in a second, so I'll leave you with this. I want to personally thank you for the coverage that we've received this year, for the relevance you provided the tour. I want to thank all the fans who have followed the LPGA on Twitter, who are now pushing our social media numbers over 100% on improvement over last year on Twitter and Facebook, and those who ask questions when we do the live chats. And those other things that are going on. I really appreciate the opportunities we've been given on your network, on your show specifically this year. So whatever we can do to help, you know, moving forward into 14 when our schedule builds even stronger off what we've had this year and the great storylines we have to tell, I'm there for you.
Well, and I'm gonna get Tony and my producer and Megan, who I know is there every week for you guys, together and create a communication chain so that we can get your girls on more often, regardless of how they're playing. I mean, a guy can be 150th on the money list on the PGA Tour. If he has something to say, I'm going to put him on the air. I think the women on the LPGA Tour deserve exactly the same thing.
Well, appreciate that. And our players are willing, and we'll funnel the guests to you. My goal isn't to change the name of the SiriusXM PGA Tour Network, but if it became the LPGA Tour Network for a few minutes here and a few minutes there, I'm all good with that. So thanks for the opportunity.
Well, the name of this show is McGinnis on Tap, and whoever wanted to walk into a bar that was just full of dudes. I think that's a good place for this to end, Craig.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. John, thank you. I've said this before. I'm still extending the invitation. Come on down and see us. We're willing to have you at every event or any event, and we'll make it happen. We'll fill you chock full of guests.
Well, I can promise you. I tell you what, on the way to the PGA show, I will stop by the headquarters there and do a show from LPGA Tour headquarters in January.
All right, that's fine. It'll be a little dark because we're going to be in the Bahamas that week. But
are you really?
Well, I'm there. Yeah.
Well, I could go to the Bahamas first and then come back to the show.
Listen, it's all. We can work whatever you want out. Atlantis is not a bad place to stay. They call it Paradise Island down there, so I got a spot for you.
All right, brother. I appreciate it.
You have a great night. Thanks again for having me on.